What's up, everyone? I'm Nick.
And I'm Em.
And welcome into the Ominous Archives. Another week, Em.
Another week in the archives.
I hope you guys enjoyed our spooky season.
Yeah.
Our grand finale.
I had a great time doing it.
Yeah. We've talked about that Gettysburg episode for a long time.
Seriously, we've hinted at it for so long.
So we felt...
I finally got myself there.
Yeah. And we did Ghost Tour. It was good.
It was
always
fun.
Yeah. What was I going to say? I just lost my train of thought.
I took it from you. I'm sorry.
You kind of did, but... yeah, I mean, we'll have pictures to come.
Yes.
If they haven't already been posted. So, we hope you enjoyed it. It was fun. We thought it was a great way to cap off spooky season, especially with it being on Halloween. And I think with that, you know, this episode this week's going to be a little shorter. It's a homegrown episode.
Yay.
Right here in our own backyard.
I love these.
Right?
Yes.
Just because we had all that, I mean, yeah, traveling and stuff like that, and our first time doing that with the podcast. So,
let me bring it back.
Yeah, we're going to bring it down. But, so, tonight we're going to be talking about this quiet little stretch of land that's along the Delaware River. It's in Delco, for those of you who don't know, Delaware County.
Delco!
Be more specific, it's in Tinicum Township. And if you, for whatever reason, find yourself on a boat coming up the Delaware.
If for whatever reason.
There is a building that is almost, if not older, than the United States itself.
Oh.
I've... pass this at least twice a day going to work. There is a cute little park, exterior of the park, but it's a nice little walking thing. There's a nice field and some stuff to play in right up against the water. And I honestly had no idea. Now it's, we'll probably talk about it a little bit later in the episode, but now it's kind of blocked by the new firehouse. But I had no idea what this building was for the longest time. And a buddy, Jim of mine, was like, hey, if you're doing a podcast now, you should cover the Lazaretto.
I'm excited.
And I was like, what's that place? And here, it's America's first quarantine station. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe it's the last one standing. I think it's the final one, or like within the final ones of like, I think they're like torn down or whatever,
mm-hmm.
or like changed into something else.
Mm.
Or this place still stands the same. So, in order to talk about it, we're going to have to kind of go way back. We're going back before Ellis Island, before Angel Island. That's where the Lazaretto takes place. It was built in 1799, just south of Philadelphia. It was created in a direct response to the yellow fever epidemic of 1793, which pretty much devastated Philadelphia. It killed over 5,000 people, and at that point, Philadelphia was the U.S. capital. So, the city was in panic. Citizens pretty much just fled in droves. They left behind empty homes. Hospitals became overrun. There were mass graves. So, they tried to think of a solution. And they said, well, a quarantine station... But they also were, like, close enough so we can control the flow of immigrants and cargo ships in and out.
Right.
So, the Lazaretto was erected right on the banks of the Delaware River. Its name drawn from Lazarus, the patron saint of lepers.
Hmm.
So, from 1799 to 1895, every ship arriving in Philadelphia had to stop at the Lazaretto. The passengers were examined by doctors. Anyone suspected of carrying a disease was kept for days, weeks, maybe even months, and many of them actually never left. So, imagine your boat docks, You're stepping off a ship after weeks at sea. You feel weak. The children that you have are coughing. Your future at this point is super unclear. And instead of freedom, you're herded into a massive stone building with barred windows and the stench of alcohol, sweat, and sickness.
It actually sounds like a nightmare.
Yep, pretty much. So you're walking right straight into a nightmare. You got doctors in bloodstained coats, corpses wrapped in linens, buried under the cover of darkness, screams echoing down the cold hallways. Over decades, the Lazaretto housed victims of yellow fever. So they were entire families that perished in the wards. In some years, dozens of bodies were buried in unmarked graves on the grounds. And where there were suffering, we often have spirits. So it's pretty much a quick little history of the Lazaretto.
Very sad history.
It's a very sad history.
It's, like, so upsetting. Mm-hmm.
But it also gives you your haunted encounters.
Well, yeah, because, like, what better a place for spirits to reside?
Yeah. So long after it stopped its operating as a quarantine station, the Lazaretto shadow still endured. Today, it's a municipal building, but some say it still pulses with the pain and presence of the past. Locals tell stories, some passed down, others firsthand. A former caretaker reported hearing footsteps in the empty halls late at night. He'd lock the building, and then he'd hear creaking floorboards. And he would turn around and look, and he would find the doors wide open again. Once, he swore he heard a child crying behind a locked door, but when he opened it, the room was completely empty.
Nope.
According to the Historical Society of Pennsylvania, volunteer firefighters, on the night shift across the way, have reported seeing a female figure periodically appear in a second-story window. And others say they've heard disembodied voices warning them to leave or the cries of children calling out for their parents who never come. The spirits don't seem bound to a single area as they move through, like, they move across all the grounds, all the rooms. It doesn't matter. It's huge. Where the new firehouse is, I guess it's not new anymore. It's been there for a while, but where the firehouse is was grounds for the Lazaretto.
Right.
So, and the park and the hotel that's there, like all that stuff, even the deck, the old bar that used to be there.
Yeah.
That was all Lazaretto grounds.
That's so crazy, actually.
So when you think about it, the grounds were huge.
Right.
A few of the apparitions at the Lazaretto aren't just vague shadows. They're tied to specific people and specific traumas. We have Dr. Thomas Jefferson Perkins Stokes.
What a name.
Well, I know. Four names. It's almost like Albert Wilfus. Yes, seriously. You know what I mean? Boy. Anyway. So he was a quarantine physician who in 1853 was prosecuted for dereliction of duty. His name still lingers in the Lazaretto's long shadow. And any ships passing along the Delaware River and looking to dock in Philadelphia, they would first stop at the Lazaretto. There, the quarantine master and the physician inspected every inch of the vessel, the cargo, crew, and passengers alike. If everything was deemed healthy, the ship would leave the next day, armed with a certificate of health, and cleared to enter the city. But not all the ships were so fortunate. If disease was detected, the Lazaretto raised a grim yellow flag. What followed could be a delay of days or even weeks. Ships were ordered to stay in the river. Their contents were fumigated. Travelers were separated. The sick remained behind for treatment, sparse barracks, praying that they didn't fall ill while they waited. In the summer of 1853, a ship arrived from Cuba. Its hull was heavy with tropical cargo and allegedly something worse. Matthew Van Dunce, the quarantine master, and Dr. Stokes cleared the ship for entry soon after yellow fever broke out in Philadelphia. People pointed fingers, panic gripped the city, and accusations surfaced. It was alleged that Van Dunce and Stokes had failed to properly disinfect the vessel. Had they been negligent? Had their error triggered a deadly chain reaction? But Dr. Stokes stood trial, a rare proceeding for a physician, especially one in public service. Historian Tom Kurland, after extensive search through the 19th century archives, unearthed a forgotten record, a trial entry from an 1853 Court of Quarters session binder. Stokes and Van Dunce were exonerated, which I guess, you know, that's good. But even though the court cleared his name, the stain never quite lifted, and the guilt must have been unbearable. Thanks, Arch. A city sickened, a decision questioned whether or not Stokes made a mistake. His name forever became tethered to a phantom ship and a silent epidemic. Some say his presence still lingers in the halls of the Lazaretto, heard but not seen. And then there's Mary Riddle, the widow who saved the Lazaretto from collapse during the yellow fever outbreak of 1870. As an epidemic crept up the Delaware, once again, death swept through the Lazaretto like a tide. Most of the principal officers were killed. The facility fell into chaos and was stripped of leadership. But one woman stepped forward. She was a widower and a mother. Mary Riddle had come to the Lazaretto under tragic circumstances. She was there to attend the funeral of a friend who had died of the fever. But what she walked into was nothing short of a disaster. The resident physician was dead. The staff was demoralized, disorganized, and in full rebellion against the emergency authorities sent in by the Board of Health.
Well, that's no bueno.
No. No bueno. According to a powerful tribute published in the Sunday Dispatch on September 11th, 1870, Mary Riddle found herself in the middle of the greatest confusion with her elderly mother and small children waiting at home. She could have left. No one would have blamed her. But instead, she made a fateful choice. She decided to stay. She led the makeshift crew of mercenaries placed by their board. She cooked for more than 30 people. She cleaned. She organized. She administered. She became the beating heart of a place that had nearly flatlined. Her presence kept the Lazaretto alive. She stayed until the worst had passed, when the disease loosened its grip. Then she returned home to her family. But Mary didn't walk away untouched. She'd carried something back with her.
No.
She, too, was stricken with yellow fever. For a time, her life hung in the balance, but unlike so many others, she survived.
Hmm.
It's easy to imagine Mary's spirit still lingering, watching and guarding. Visitors say the Lazaretto isn't just filled with tortured souls, it also houses the memory of Mary Riddle. Or maybe Mary herself.
I love Mary. Shout out, Mary.
Yep, go Mary. Then we have Tobias Smith, a mischievous 11-year-old orphan accused of triggering the 1805 yellow fever outbreak after he was caught illegally boarding quarantine ships. Legend says he ran back into the city, unknowingly bringing the disease with him. Also, the haunting tale of Mary Ann Gaines involves a 9-year-old girl captured and enslaved in West Africa. Upon arriving in America, she was free, but not truly free. Instead, she was indentured to Thomas Ager. What an interesting name. The last quarantine master at the old Lazaretto, and the first to serve at the new facility. Among Gaines' indenture papers at the Historical Society of Pennsylvania, her name quietly endures Mary Ann Gaines, bound to serve for 9 years until the age of 18. I think we're saying that right, Gaines. Little else is known about her fate. No further records have yet been found, though researchers continue to search. Still, her ghostly imprint seems woven into the Lazaretto's history. Some say her presence can still be felt. The sound of a young girl's voice echoes down the halls, or the fleeting glimpse of a small girl's figure in the shadows. So paranormal investigators have long been drawn to the Lazaretto, describing it as a place thick with spiritual residue. One of the most vocal is Rebecca Brumble, a member of the Southeast Paranormal Investigation Research Team of Pennsylvania. She says, "It's one of my favorite places. It's totally haunted," she says. Brumble was even involved in a TV episode when the Ghost Hunters show visited the site. Drawn by the Lazaretto's reputation for residual energy and active hauntings, investigators have reported EVPs whispering in German and Dutch, echoing the tongues of terrified immigrants held in quarantine more than a century ago. Many have encountered cold spots, flickering lights, and that unmistakable primal sensation of being watched. But perhaps most unsettling here are the reports from the basement, a place now rarely accessed by staff. Here, visitors describe sharp drops in temperature, overwhelming smells of ether or rot, and even tugs on clothing by invisible hands.
Nope.
Why not?
I don't like that.
I don't like that.
Not a fan.
No? Not a fan?
Can't say I am.
Well, you should be. You host a paranormal podcast, so. In one case, an investigator claimed to hear labored breathing in the dark, only to turn around and find the room completely empty. During a public nighttime investigation by members of the Lazaretto Preservation Association and paranormal groups, investigators used EMF detectors, audio recorders, thermometers. They reported inexplicable light flickers, mysterious voices, doors moving on their own, and one person claimed to feel their flashlight lift and then drop by something invisible. David Barnes, associate professor of the history and sociology of science at the University of Pennsylvania, UPenn, has studied not only the Lazaretto's past, but the people who try to contact it. Barnes began interviewing paranormal investigators who've been involved in preserving the site, and at first, he was skeptical. "When I first talked to these paranormal investigators, I thought it was crazy," Barnes admitted. "But over time, he came to recognize their shared mission, reconnecting with the past." While Barnes used archives and documents, the ghost hunters used EMF detectors and audio recorders. Both, however, seek traces of forgotten lives. As Barnes explains, these ghost hunters find the connection partly through paranormal investigation. He's now a leading voice in the Penn Ghost Project, an initiative organizing events and tours of haunted historic sites across Philadelphia, including the Lazaretto and Eastern State Penitentiary.
Ah.
That's a good one. Eastern State.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's, I mean...
Doing anything at Eastern State is cool. Like, I want to do the daytime tour, yeah. Like the actual history tour of it. It's so bad.
Mm-hmm. It's good. It's really good. It's hosted by Steve Buscemi.
And you want to know what's so funny?
Hmm?
Is I knew that because you've told me that before.
Have I?
I tell everybody that all the time.
Yeah. It's so cool.
It is a fun fact.
But the Lazaretto would probably, I feel like, if you want, like, entry-level ghost hunting,
yeah.
This is like a, and I only say entry-level because I feel like it's like a calm for, like, the stuff that's happened there. It's,
yeah.
You know, it's still terrible and sad and stuff, mm-hmm. But it's like a mellow.
Right. Comparison. Whereas, like,
Eastern State, it was rough.
Yeah.
Like, there was, the stuff that happened there was, like,
bad.
Yeah. Anyway, the Penn Ghost Project even plans to investigate the Sabert Commission, a forgotten ghost research group from 1884 that included University of Penn faculty, even then President William Pepper. As the project digs into the 19th century files, they're also calling on students and the public to contribute photos, documents, and experiences to build a shared ghostly archive. Lights Out paranormal investigators who visited the Lazaretto in 2010 recounted an extraordinary flurry of supernatural activity on the second floor. Disembodied voices, doors moving by themselves, and a glowing orb that hovered before circling around them. And one EVP recording captured the phrase, "Excuse me," while another clearly said, "Harry! Harry!
Harry!"
Even on Reddit, visitors to the Lazaretto offer quick but meaningful impressions. A 200-plus-year-old quarantine station, haunted but historically fascinating. And on the streets of Philadelphia, locals note the building's quiet rural tone, the leaning trees, and that something about its presence simply feels off. In 1900, several hundred bodies originally buried at the Lazaretto were disinterred and quietly reburied at Arlington Cemetery in Upper Darby. There were no ceremonies, no markers, just a hushed removal in the name of progress. Historians still don't know how many of these people were immigrants, sailors, children, or quarantine passengers who never made it home. Some believe this disturbance may have awakened and agitated the spirits, breaking whatever fragile peace had settled over the land. And there's more, because the dead came not only from the ships. While the Lazaretto was chiefly concerned with the sick arriving by water, the hospital also served and buried those from the city of Philadelphia suffering from infectious diseases. On November 5th, 1800, a man named John Bather paid $6 to the Board of Health for the coffin interment of a poor woman from Gaskill Street, said to have died of a contagious fever. She hadn't come by ship. She was a city resident, removed from her home, taken to the quarantine hospital, and buried far from her family. The Board of Health had strict rules. All who died from contagious diseases while in quarantine were buried on the grounds of the Lazaretto. Those afflicted were removed to the hospital, isolated from loved ones, and awaited either recovery or death. For many, the end came swiftly, and their final resting place was a shallow trench on the edge of the Delaware. There's no comprehensive recording details how many people died at the Lazaretto. Some historians believe the number could reach into the thousands.
Wow.
Most were buried, often anonymously, in unmarked graves. No rites, no names carved into the stone, and no place for mourners to gather. And they're still here.
Right, I was just going to say, are they not still buried though?
I said, and they're still there. Did I say there? I think they said here. But anyway, go on. Sorry I interrupted you.
No, that's just crazy. I was just going to say, so they're still buried there?
Yeah. In 2020, a proposed development near the historical site was abruptly paused due to community concern over disturbing potential mass graves. Ground-penetrating radar revealed anomalies in the soil and disturbed earth consistent with human remains.
Hmm.
It is believed that the remains of the immigrants, sailors, and laborers, those whose lives were deemed disposable, still rest just below the surface. That the spirits tied to the land, who died in pain, isolation, and anonymity, are still waiting to be acknowledged and remembered. Even today, visitors to the property near the old burial trenches report strange sensations, sudden pressure in their chest, inexplicable sorrow, phantom coughing in the still humid air, and one person described it as grief in the ground. The Lazaretto still stands, weathered but watchful, on a 10-acre riverside stretch of land in Tinicum Township, just west of the Philadelphia International Airport. Today, the main building houses Tinicum Township administration offices, including a firehouse, municipal services. But visitors can still walk the grounds during the daylight hours. Just don't disturb the staff inside. The building may be alive with history, but it's also very much still in use. Inside, however, there's more than paperwork and public meetings. There are exhibit rooms on the first and second floors dedicated to the Lazaretto's long layered history. From its beginnings in the 1790s to its role in shaping the public health policy and immigration in America. The Lazaretto Preservation Association of Tinicum Township now oversees the site's maintenance and historical programming. Their efforts helped earn the building a place on the National Register of Historic Places, cementing its status as a rare survivor of early quarantine architecture. Self-guided audio tours are available, though they don't include entry into the building itself. Still, walking the grounds, especially alone, has been enough to stir something deep in many visitors. The river winds slowly behind you. The wind picks up suddenly. You pass what used to be the burial trenches, and you just feel it. The building has been restored, but not erased. And I will give you that. When we've walked, like, when we've taken the dogs and the baby there to take a walk and stuff,
mm-hmm.
you look over and you just get an eerie. Like, yeah. It, even though it's behind the firehouse and, like, all that, it's setting and just looking at it, it just has an eerie feel and look to it. And
yeah.
they did renovate it.
Couldn't change it, though.
Yeah, they kept it, like, historically accurate. So it looks really, really good. So, on Facebook pages that are linked to Tinicum Township, host regular events called History and Mystery Weekend at the Lazaretto. Why do I not know about this?
Seriously, what?
Featuring guided tours, lectures, and storytelling, often with a strong emphasis on its haunted history. These are hosted by the Lazaretto Lady interpreters like Barbara Saletti and Sherry Groff, who share paranormal lore tied specifically to the site. Additionally, the official Lazaretto page confirms the site's identity as North America's oldest surviving quarantine station and promotes its paranormal heritage alongside its history. So, with all that being said, the Lazaretto is a place where the past and present collide, a monument to our fears of contagion and mortality, but also a reminder of how easily we forget the stories of the vulnerable. Thousands came through its doors, hoping for a better life. Some never made it out. Their names most likely lost, their graves unmarked, but their stories linger. So if you ever find yourself along the Delaware River, near Tinicum, take a close listen. You might hear the echoes of those still waiting for their peace.
So sad.
Right?
Like, I hate ones like this. Like, where it's like, it's just so upsetting.
It is. It's really upsetting. But it's super interesting.
Yeah.
Of, like, you've passed it. Yeah. I pass it all the time.
Yeah,
I
literally
had no idea what this thing was about.
No idea.
No clue. And now I know. And I feel like Delco is, and even this area in general,
because
we're so close to Philadelphia, there's so many small little sites stuff like that. Oh, also, like, if you find yourself in that area looking at the Lazaretto, I don't know if it's still open to the public, but behind the airport, there's Fort Mifflin. That place is haunted. Definitely
100%.
Haunted. Maybe we'll do a quick, like, ghost story thing of there, because there's multiple ghost stories from there and stuff like that. I did a day camp there, and it's wild. We would play, like, Capture the Flag and stuff like that. And like
in Fort Mifflin.
Yeah, in Fort Mifflin. We would, you know, we'd run across the tops of the walls and everything. It was crazy. But anyway, that's a tale for another day. But I just feel like there's so much history. Some of it sad, some of it, like, not sad. But that's going to wrap this episode up. I don't want to keep anybody any longer. It's been a wild end to our spooky season.
Yes.
So we thought a nice homegrown hometown spooky building would be good for all you guys. We want to thank Sam. She did a lot of hard work for this one. The Lazaretto definitely is a hard place to research. Like, there's just not a lot of info out there on it. You kind of have to go to it to get the info
and
stuff.
Do your own research, right?
Yeah. So She did an awesome job with getting us a bunch of that info. Go check her out at ScareMeSam.com. Listen to her podcast, Scare Me Sam. Go follow us on all of our socials. I think we've been saying it way too much. It's been almost a year now that we've been saying it, so probably gonna stop saying that. Yeah. But always feel free to email us at Ominous Archives. We like to respond. We like to talk to you guys. Yeah, other than that, I think don't forget to come back next week as we dive into more strange and haunted stories down here in the Ominous Archives. See ya.